May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Most of us who've grown up around the church have heard of the Beatitudes. I remember being particularly smitten with a girl in high school who I asked what her favorite scripture was, and she said, the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, says something about me as a Bible nerd, doesn't it? The Beatitudes are one of those scriptures that you are likely to see embroidered, framed, and hanging on the wall. However, what we usually think of as the Beatitudes is the version which appears in Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, which is sometimes called a spiritualized version. Matthew 5, 3 through 10 says this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Luke's version of the Beatitudes is more stark. It is as if Luke wants to bring the teaching back down to earth. Rather than being the lofty teachings from on high, like Moses pronouncing the Ten Commandments from the side of Mount Sinai, Luke has Jesus teaching from the plain, or as the NRSV says it, a level place. Notice also that Jesus is preaching to the choir. Luke says that he, Jesus, looked up at his disciples and spoke. Jesus, who came to us and lived among us as a human, spoke to the condition he observed. We who live relatively comfortable, prosperous lives sometimes forget that Jesus was preaching to persons living under subjugation. Jesus' first disciples were the tired, the hungry, the huddled masses longing to be free. Jesus' message spoke to the conditions on the plain and spoke to their expectations. It's often been pointed out that Jesus' teachings are consistent with one of the core teachings of Buddhism. That is, suffering is often rooted in unfulfilled expectations or attachment to outcomes. When we root our happiness in circumstances rather than God, we are creating our own suffering. This is pointed out particularly plainly, if you'll excuse the pun, in Jesus' message to his disciples today. It has been said that appreciation for the sunrise can only come to those who've known the dark. Likewise, those who already have what they think they need, supplied by their own self-reliance and cultural accolades, will not seek the satisfaction that comes from knowing reliance on God. and the kingdom of heaven. Woe to those who are self-satisfied, for they have already received their consolation. Blessed are those who are not self-satisfied, but seek the kingdom of God. Much of theology is paradoxical, meaning that truth comes out of tension between two seeming opposites. Historically, Jewish theology prized blessedness. Those who were successful were those whom God blessed. Those who were not successful were being punished for their sins. We see this played out in the book of Job, where a good man is very rich and suddenly loses everything. The friends and even the spouse of Job blame him for having sinned and caused all his misfortune. However, Job was not the cause of his misfortune. Job hung on to his faith in God regardless. Televangelists, appealing to the desire of people to be prosperous, preach what has been called the prosperity gospel. This preaching says that righteousness begets wealth. This preaching justifies the lavish lifestyle of jet-setting preachers who are justifying their greed with a false narrative. Jesus has a very different message. Jesus turns the prosperity gospel on its head. Jesus says in Matthew, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," but says even more to the point in Luke, "Blessed are the poor." I suggest Jesus is telling us that we should not be tied to our present circumstances as the source of our joy or suffering. Our consolation, our joy, comes from knowing the Lord. For of such is the kingdom of God. Note that Jesus came to bring the kingdom. So this is not just a message to hang on, for you will receive your ultimate reward. It is a message that the kingdom is here now among you, if your eyes are inclined to the Lord and not to circumstantial happiness. Christian Wyman was raised in the small West Texas town of Snyder in an evangelical household. He attended church three times a week, and he lost his faith. He graduated from Washington and Lee University and has taught at Northwestern University, Stanford University, Lynchburg College, and the Prague School of Economics. In 2003, he became the editor of the oldest American magazine of verse, Poetry, a role he stepped down from in June of 2013, the year he published his book, The Bright Abyss. This book, with its paradoxical title, speaks to the author's journey through a cancer diagnosis and a return to faith from atheism. He now teaches at Yale Divinity School. Wyman, in his poetic prose, writes of the ways pain in life open us up to the love of God. He says, quote, "Sometimes God calls us to unbelief in order that faith might take new forms." He also says that abundance and destitution are two faces of one God. And to be spiritually alive in the fullest sense is to recall one when we are standing in the midst of the other. Luke's rendition of Jesus teaching his disciples puts in contrast the circumstances of life and reminds us that God is with us. Richard Rohr has said that we are most aware of God's presence in the great joys and in the great sorrows of life. However, it seems that we are most aware in times of sorrow. Joy, unfortunately, tends to make us all too prone to complacency, thinking that the joy is of our own making. Wyman says this, "Life tears us apart, but through these wounds, if we've tended them, love may enter us." Jesus says this, "Blessed are the hungry, for you will be filled." May we all look to God and not our own strength for our joy and for our sustenance. Amen.